Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 6, 2020. First Congress of the New Age. We are going to a virtual congress in 2 weeks. This is not an easy connection because we began preparing for it already from the beginning of creation, billions of years ago. And this is only in our material world. Before that there were many actions in the spiritual worlds. And finally, we come to the point where we begin to feel the breaking, the reverse form of connection in order to achieve it. We can say that at this moment we are at the lowest starting point from which a continuous ascent begins toward the program of creation, its goal, where we all unite together and with the Creator. The entire universe, all the worlds, all the stars and galaxies, are connected together at the point of unity that we must reach. The first station on the way to this goal is a virtual congress, which we are holding in 2 weeks. It may seem that this is not so important, but we must realize that we value the importance according to our uncorrected selfish desires, but in fact, the desire to unite at this special time between the thousands of people participating in the congress is very important. This is the first congress held during the period of the coronavirus. In February, we managed to hold a big convention right before the start of the quarantines. It was like we jumped into the last carriage, we held a convention, and the door slammed shut right behind us. And now we're starting to organize our system during the coronavirus period. We have already gone through its first wave and can understand what this is about. Humanity does not yet understand what is happening. The epidemic will not recede, it will move forward like a steamroller of development and will sculpt a new form from humanity. This huge asphalt roller will roll right over us, and hit us, into the ground, if only in this form we are able to connect with each other. Let's not wait for the development rink, but do it on account of our own work. You should not be naughty children whose mother is forced to punish in order to make them behave well. And the child has no way out, he has to obey, as we are now, out of hopelessness, doing what the coronavirus and other viruses that are in line for us, want from us. We need to rise to a state where we understand why the mother, that is, nature, the Creator, requires us, and we want to fulfill her requirements by our consent and goodwill. We want to bring this first congress of a new era to a new state, not like before when we sat together, talked, and hugged. We should not regret that we are not sitting in the same room, we should not regret the past. It has already passed. Everything new must be taken for granted with understanding and approval. New states require even more connection from us. And if we see that material changes have occurred, then they should only awaken us to even greater internal connection so that the external form does not confuse us, does not give the illusion that we are already connected by the fact that several thousand people are sitting in one room. Now there is no such thing, we are not in the same room and do not even strive to be together physically. We want to be together spiritually as one person with one heart. And therefore this is a completely new congress, in a new era. There is nothing from past congresses in it, it is a new level, a new approach, a new attitude. And we look at it as a spiritual level to which we must ascend. I want to be connected with everyone, but where and how? By ascending to the spiritual level, to the spiritual place where our congress is held, to the space within the Creator. We will all enter into this space and want to exist there, to unite with each other within Him. The Creator is called place, and it is in this place that we hold our congress, our gathering of everyone together, in order to support each other together with the Creator on this first spiritual step that awaits us. I cannot convey to you the feelings that are in my heart. But let's hope that together we will discover this state and feel the connection between us, within the Creator at our first congress of a new era. From a Kabbalah lesson, August 1, 2020. Medium published my new article Contagious Contraction, The global economy has changed for good. Many pundits expressed alarm when the economic data regarding the contraction of the global economy in the second quarter began to pour out. One by one, the biggest economies in the world reported unprecedented contractions that dwarfed the already frightening contractions of Q1. As if they've all been struck by a virus, contagious contraction seems to have gripped them all. The US contracted by 9.5% compared to Q1, 33% compared to the same quarter last year. Canada did even worse and contracted by 12% compared to Q1, and the Eurozone trailed even that with 12.1%. A country-by-country examination of the Eurozone exposes the grim reality, with Germany falling by 10.1%, Italy by 12.4%, France by 13.8%, and Spain contracting by a whopping 18.5% in a single quarter compared to just 3 months earlier. We're headed for a good future of an orderly life of mutual responsibility. So the sooner humankind sobers up from the hangover left after the demise of the American dream, the better it is for everyone. The only country to boast significant economic growth was China, as one might expect, but with the global economy shrinking faster than the mercury in a thermometer placed in the freezer, the manufacturing colossus is unlikely to find export markets that will keep its growth positive going forward. And since, as World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus said about the prospect of finding a vaccine for COVID-19, there's no silver bullet at the moment and there might never be, the bottom line is clear: the economy we had is gone for good. But the fact that the past will not return is not a sign of troubles to come. In fact, our only problem right now is that we want it to come back. We mustn't even dream about it, it only delays our recovery and makes it needlessly painful. We have to change our whole approach. The future economy will allow for only one provider per family. The government will make up for the drop in income. Healthcare, social security, pension, education, public transportation, all those will be free of charge. Staples will not be sold, they will be given according to a quota per capita. Each grown-up and child will be entitled for certain staples, and these will guarantee that no one goes hungry. The same will apply to housing, power, gas, and water. No one will be homeless, cold, or hungry. The American dream, which everyone around the world has shared for decades, has by now become a nightmare. Now it will be replaced by a reality of orderly life. In fact, orderly is the word to keep in mind. Everyone will have enough, no material deficiencies, but also no excess. I know it sounds socialistic, if not communistic, but it isn't, it is realistic. If we do not construct an orderly life for all of humanity, we will have no life at all, it's that simple. Alongside the benefits that the state will provide, and in order to adjust more quickly, people will learn about the new reality that's been imposed on us, against our will. Since we cannot beat it, we might as well join it. But to do that, we need to learn what's happened, why the world has tumbled down on us, and what we can do to establish the new normal of orderly life as quickly as possible. People will learn what it means to be part of an integral system whose parts are interrelated and interdependent. They will develop new thought patterns where competition is good only if it is intended to benefit everyone. Role models will change, the new ones will be people who help cultivate solidarity and mutual concern. Habits will change, everyone will feel more accountable to their communities and to each other. We will be able to trust not only our friends, already a rare commodity, but even complete strangers. These good things will happen not because COVID and the crash of the economy have turned us into angels, but because they have left us no choice. Once we realize that either we all swim or we all sink, the vast majority will make the right choice. As society changes and the mindset becomes pro-social, even the most obstinate will find themselves nurturing good thoughts about others quite naturally. We're headed for a good future of an orderly life of mutual responsibility. So the sooner humankind sobers up from the hangover left after the demise of the American dream, the better it is for everyone. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, what do you think about how the world at large can learn as a lesson from the coronavirus? Can we expect unity? Until now, the pains that have befallen the world have led to no effective solutions or discernments. People simply awaited sense so that they can get back to doing business as usual, thinking about how to minimize their losses, and even more so, how to profit off of the pandemic. It comes as no surprise, since it is a mere expected outcome of our innate egoistic attitude to the world, which works on us, involuntarily. Therefore, the coronavirus is here to stay for a lot longer, since it has appeared in order to perform a serious change in the world. Right now, we are going through a phase of trying to revive many businesses that we have no real need for, and give handouts for work that will be non-existent in the future. Authorities fail to understand the newness of the era that we have entered, that it is an era where we need to provide people with life's essentials, and place all of our surplus focus on an upgraded form of education, which teaches us about this new interdependent world that is revealing itself to us, its laws, and how we can get along with each other in these new conditions. That is, it is a form of education that we need today, which we did not receive as we grew up. Instead, we try to continue holding on to our past materialistic values, hoping that we will keep our shopping culture of boutiques, jewelry stores, expensive watches and cars. Therefore, in relation to the change that nature demands from humanity today, the pandemic has not even started yet. I thus hope that we will open our eyes and see that we are in a new, more interdependent and interconnected world, and living in this world requires making serious adjustments to how we used to live, which comes down to becoming more essentials focused while engaging in learning of what is this new world, how we have developed to this point, and what we can do in order to survive and prosper in today's new tighter interdependent conditions. The crown of superegoism. Our connection must become 10 complete sephirot of the soul, or the third temple. The temple is a structure, a network of connections between us. Today's coronavirus epidemic reveals to us the breaking, the destruction of the temple, the transgression. It shows how egoistic our relationships are and how unable we are to connect, how indifferent we are to what happens to our neighbor, whether he lives or dies. This is the disease. I am sick because I cannot even get close to anyone who is around. The coronavirus reveals our hatred and rejection of each other. This is the disease. The crown is placed on our head as superegoism that dominates us. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson July 29, 2020, Tisha B'Av, 9th of Av. Polar Star. There is fear that intense protests in Israel will end in violence and turn into civil war. But in fact, this war has been going on since we started returning to the land of Israel. After all, we are not corrected, therefore all our actions are very egoistic. Our egoism is evident in them so brightly that they turn out worse than those of all the nations of the world. In the uncorrected state, we are the quintessence of all evil in the world, and in the corrected state, we will become the opposite, the quintessence of all good. And so it is written, that rising, Israel rises above the rest, and falling, falls below all. After all, we are an extract of the greatest desire to enjoy of all the nations of the world. This is why Israel stands out from all other nations. Until people know what they really need to do, it will be impossible to calm them down. It is necessary to give them a method of correction so that they understand what needs to be corrected and what our mission assigned to us, from above is. If you do not give it to people, they will start killing each other. The inner flame will flare up so much that they will go out every day to beat or even kill each other, which was the case in the time of the temple. The main wars were not with the Greeks and Romans, but between the Jews themselves. And there is nothing new in today's riots. It is again revealed what was 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, the war of egoism that does not want to give way to anyone, until it reveals its insignificance and asks for correction. Extinguishing the irritation and anger can only be done by revealing the true cause. Otherwise, it is impossible to ease the tension, hatred, and conflict of forces. They can be dimmed for a week or two, but in fact, nothing will change if all the cards are not revealed. And it is good that such a flame is burning inside people, it just needs to be directed and shaped correctly. The riots and unrest that we see today on the streets of Israel are caused by the absence of a middle line, a lack of methodology, a program, an ideology that would connect different poles, the desire to receive of the creation, which is in contradiction with the desire to give of the Creator. The two opposites must come to work together, to balance, to connect, to embrace, and to love. But there is no understanding among the people today that we need these two forces and only need to combine them correctly. And the right connection is possible if we have a goal in front of us, a guiding polar star to which we must precisely come together. Let us move toward this goal together. These two opposing forces must find what they have in common. This means that both should rise above their egoism and find what unites them, only in this form. And this should be the case not only in Israel, but in the whole world. There is already unrest in America and then it will spread to all continents. The polar star is the connection of all the forces of nature together in order to manifest one force that unfolds in the connection between us, if we can unite over all differences. This force unfolding in us gives us a sense of true reality instead of this material world. And then we begin to live in the upper world, called so according to our feelings, in a world that is eternal. The blows received from the coronavirus will eventually cause all of humanity to bow, calm, and quiet down, realizing that there is an upper force at work here that will not allow us to do what we want, neither right or left. We will have to surrender to the influence of a third force from the higher degree. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, July 30, 2020. One should think, not cry on the Nine of Av. The division took place in two stages, the first temple and the second temple, until it reached its full measure. And now it is already possible to come to the construction of the third temple, that is, the state that we build on the basis of the past destruction and thereby achieve the correction of all reality, the whole world. This is the challenge we face today. The ninth of Av symbolizes a special date on the calendar that reflects the spiritual root of the past breakdowns, the collapse of the first temple and the second temple. This division spread from top to bottom, and today we are at the very foot of this staircase, so the first temple was higher than the second. The first temple was at the level of the light of Chaya, very high, and the second temple was much lower, at the level of the light of Neshama. We have to go through this fall, the collapse of the first temple and then the collapse of the second temple, to a complete loss of the spiritual. And this is so that today we can rise, correct these broken spiritual genes, Reshimot, and build the third temple. Of course, we do not build it ourselves, but only clarify this state and raise the broken Reshimot, and then the light comes, which builds a spiritual vessel called the third temple. Since the ninth of Av symbolizes the destruction of the temple, this day is considered a day of mourning. But this does not mean that you have to sit and cry. First of all, we need to think in order to understand what is happening and why we have to grieve. This day comes in order for us to learn from it how to restore our house of holiness, our soul, in a corrected state, filled with the revelation of the Creator. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, July 29, 2020, Tisha B'Av, 9th of Av. Disconnection of Communities, Part 3. Anti-Semitism, a Natural Phenomenon. Question. You say that antisemitism is a law of nature. Can you not explain antisemitism as a coincidence? To compare even a complex, unusual, yet still, a social phenomenon with the law of gravity is very extravagant. After all, what is a law of nature? It is a phenomenon that exists always and everywhere regardless of our attitude to it. Answer, there are laws of nature that exist under certain conditions. Why take such a law that cannot incorporate everything? It is just silly. Besides, gravity also depends on where you are on the Earth and on how far from Earth the object is. We know that there is mutual rejection, alienation, and hatred by non-Jews toward Jews. It exists almost everywhere. The more developed people are, the stronger the hatred. It manifests itself even in those nations that have never been in contact with Jews. And since this feature exists everywhere and at all times, then we say that this natural phenomenon has been accompanying humanity for thousands of years. Remark, here are some facts. It is believed that there is no anti-Semitism in Georgia and never has been. Jews have been living there for more than 2,500 years, ever since the destruction of the first temple. The term is unimaginable. But after digging into the archives, I found that in the second half of the 19th century, there were 6 blood libels in Georgia. Incidentally, this period was marked by the highest number of pogroms not only within the Russian Empire, but throughout the world. They also say that there is no anti-Semitism in Japan. But the Prime Minister of this country, Okuma Shigenobu, said that Jews around the world are destroying patriotism and healthy foundations of the state. My reply, anti-Semitism is everywhere. It is a natural phenomenon. But the fact is that it can be especially interesting in Japan, where, how, and on what basis it manifests itself. Remark, that is, we can safely say that anti-Semitism is a law of nature. It has existed for thousands of years and is constantly repeated under certain conditions, mainly when there is a disunity among the Jews. My reply, quite right. For more on this topic, read my books Like a Bundle of Reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour, and The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From CabTV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, August 12, 2019. Team Building Guide, Part 12. A team is a network of connection. Question. Many psychologists say that a team is a superorganism, a separate living entity. This is a connection network where the team itself is more than the sum of individuals. Do team members have to come to this feeling themselves? Or is it not an artificially created organization, but a natural model? If we correctly connect to its field, like we connect to the internet, then the team is a guide. Answer, if we are correctly integrated with the team, it begins to affect us, as a completely separate external upper force. Although it is created by us, and we interact in it because we cultivate unity in it, it becomes above us, and influences us. Question. Does this mean that the team itself is a conductor for reaching some more elevated goal? Answer. For reaching the next level of connection. Question. What do people begin to feel through this team? Is it some kind of information field, a force? Answer. A single force that unites them, which carries new information from a new level of nature because it is the force of connection, which does not exist in ordinary human society. From CabTV's Management Skills, June 18, 2020. New Life 1169. An Education for Healthy Relationships.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about connecting with other people. We'd like to talk about the ability that nature gave us to connect to other people. How can we enhance it on our way to a better life? Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, today we know that good relations is something that's really important to us in all realms of life, family life, work, and in general. Happiness is the most important thing in life as we know, and researchers have been researching man's ability to connect with his environment for many years. There are famous observations by Bowlby and Ainsworth about how little children behave when they're next to their mother and a stranger is brought into the room, and you see how children behave differently according to how strong their relationship with their mother is. And they have no problem exploring the environment, even if a stranger comes in, they feel confident. Once the mother leaves the room, it bothers them, but when she comes back, they gladly reunite with her and so on. Children that don't have such a strong connection with their mother, they're more anxious, they're more disconnected, and this is what researchers saw, that this affects a person's ability to connect with other people all throughout life. So, we have many different people in society, those that have good, strong relationships, and those that their relationships aren't that great. And so today we'd like to talk about the ability to connect with other people. How does the wisdom of Kabbalah bring a person to a good relationship, good connection with other people? And maybe we'd start with the question of the need to connect. Is it something natural? Dr. Lightman. Surely everything's based on a person's connection with his parents, first and foremost, with his mother. And she actually gives a person the example of how to relate to life, accept life, how to feel the response of the world, and so on. And therefore, here it's a big problem because our mothers might not exactly understand, might not be experts in the field. Not everyone's a psychologist like you are. And therefore, they don't know how to correctly develop their children. And a child that's with his mother, he sees the world through his mother, the way she relates to the world, and here too. He has a conflict because, on the one hand, he sees the world through his mother, the way his mother sees the world. On the other hand, he's a child, and this is his mother, so he doesn't want to necessarily see the world through his mother. He wants for his mother to serve him and for him to do what he feels like and for his mother to accept his worldview. And so here, we're already in a serious inner contradiction that exists in a child that disagrees with the mother and does more and more what he feels like. And even though that the mother responds negatively to what he does and suppose even punishes him, he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand that he has to change because it's his mother. And so he continues without understanding what is she demanding of him. He as if doesn't digest that she's demanding him to see the world the way she does. And afterwards, it continues into school and society and so on, meaning that he lives in a certain society, and society presents the way it looks at life, at the world, presents to him the way it sees all of these things, people, and so on, and he thinks, no, he can behave like he behaved with his mom, that he can force them to see things the way he does. And so he continues. And so either he learns through blows, really, that he might even be taken to prison and so on, and that doesn't necessarily help. We see that in prison too, in different places, wherever a person is, even if he's punished, or that he simply gets a negative response from society, it does not straighten him out. And it does not teach him how to connect more correctly with other people. He remains an egoist. He doesn't hide it. And this all comes from that game he played with his mom, that he wants to be the way he is and for everyone to accept him as he is, and for everyone to tell him, you're right, you're okay, you're a genius, you're great. Why? Because it's me, without any explanations, without any change on my part. Tal. So what, this is like man's pure nature, or what is this? Dr. Lichtman, what do you mean? Tal. Researchers say that everything depends on the mother's attitude. If she treats him favorably, meets his needs, he'll know how to be a social person that knows how to build good relations. Dr. Lichtman, I don't think so. I think that every mother wants to give her child what she understands is good. Every mother wants to the benefit of her child. So why is it that if mothers treat their children so favorably, the children grow up to be so bad? Tal, there are many mothers that are not aware that they don't have time for their children, and then they don't develop the necessary connection, and so they stay aloof, the children stay aloof, and then the child becomes very dependent and anxious. And in the eyes of research, it all depends on the mother's attitude of love and giving toward her child. Dr. Lichtman, and the more love she gives, it's better. Tal, the confidence that the child gets, Dr. Lichtman, so he grows up to be a greater egoist. Tal, this I didn't hear before. Dr. Lichtman, what do you mean? If my mother loves me unconditionally up to the point where it turns into hate toward her and others because it's a natural response, because I see no boundaries, I'm as if allowed to do everything. So what happens is that education. I grow up with a negative attitude toward everything. Then I come to the world and I see that the world isn't working the way it's supposed to in my eyes, the way I want for them to be, so I start arranging the world like I want it to be. Tal, if we're talking about the first year and a half before you really set boundaries, shouldn't the child get an example there of giving, of attention to his needs? Dr. Lichtman, a child is a very smart being and feels in each and every cell of his body, and in his soul, and in his mind, and emotion, and in everything, he feels the attitude toward him, and it all comes in order to teach him, how can I exploit my entire environment? In the meantime, my environment is my mother, so I'm all the time thinking about how can I use her. Tal, so what is a healthy approach of a mother that wants to raise a child for him to act in a good and healthy way? Dr. Lichtman, maybe I'll be able to express this, but it's a big problem. A mother's correct approach is to be two-faced toward her child, if one can say that. To the measure to which she loves him, and to the measure to which she can't stand his forms, ways of behavior. And then, from the day he's born, for her to start teaching him exactly that. And a child will naturally feel that this is good and this is bad, that this is how his mother divides reality and the world, and not that she allows him to do whatever he feels like, loving him unconditionally. Tal, and about the ability to connect with others, what builds in a person a good ability to connect with others? What kind of examples should he get in his first years in order to build good relations with others? Either he gets examples for his ego that it's good for him to be better toward others, to be good toward others, because then he could really gain from that more than by behaving badly. And a baby is a very smart creature that understands what's preferable and what's not. And if he trespasses and is rejected, then he thoroughly learns from that and doesn't repeat it anymore. And therefore, our behavior toward babies, with babies, should really be like with grown-ups. Not that we deny them of our warmth, attitude, hug, but along with this, we have to set boundaries for them and their little world. Otherwise, we corrupt them, and we do not explain to them how the world is built. How are we supposed to relate to the still, vegetative, animate, and other people? What should I expect of them? And so on. And how do you do it? How do you set these boundaries without causing them to feel inconfident, that something's wrong about them? Dr. Lightman, the best education is by setting a personal example, that I, on purpose, set such examples, but for the child not to find out that I'm doing this on purpose, in order to teach him. I show him different examples of how I behave, of how I respond to something that happens. And along with it, I can also explain why did I do things one way or another. But it's all because I understand that he grasps everything, and I have to show him the two sides of the coin. That I understand this. I'm only asking, when is criticism something negative or even destructive? Because many parents know very well how to set boundaries, but it brings a child to a state where he doesn't feel self-confidence and so on. So here you have to be really sensitive about this. Dr. Lightman, of course we can't teach parents how to be good, right, correct parents in a few sentences, obviously. But to be a parent is a profession. So, actually, we also know that there are many parents that don't have enough time for their children. They're at work, they're barely at home, or emotionally wise, this is how they grew up and so on. Can this cause a person to be more closed, introverted, not to be able to build relations with others? Dr. Lightman, here we're already going into the educational system. It could be kindergarten and school and so on. These are systems that aren't really concerned with education. Maybe it's called the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Acquisition of Knowledge. All of these ministries, all of these organizations, even though that we spend so much money on them, but we see what the results are. That we're not getting the proper return from them. So the educational system is supposed to replace the parents that maybe don't have so much time for their children. Dr. Layton, in general, in our time, I think that now that we're in a state where children, they leave home, they're not like in a village where they grow up with the cows and agriculture and so on, but that they're around grown-ups, that they're in different relationships with society, especially with all of the communications that we have today. So we have to completely change the educational system. It's not made to position a person correctly in life in the modern world. Tal, I personally feel that there's lots of knowledge missing, especially about this ideal form of relations. And what is the ideal? of a person knowing how to correctly relate to others. Dr. Leitman, he has to feel the system. It's a matter of feeling. What kind of system is he living in? Who is he in contact with? What kind of relations does he have with society as a whole? What does he want from them? What do they want from him? Meaning, this has to be very serious educational work. And we have to build a human being out of each of them who knows how to, who understands his inner world, the external world that he's in, what's demanded of him, what does he want from them. In short, one way or another, this all brings us to the point of truth. For a person to understand that his nature is evil, that it's the ego, and there's nothing that can stop him from exploiting the entire world in the most egoistic way. And even though that we see educated people that as if behave in an intelligent, restrained way, it doesn't mean anything. We're talking about human nature here, and therefore, one way or another, we have to reach a state that unless we teach a person how to deal with his own nature, we will not succeed. We'll not reach the correct education, and we won't be able to build a correct person or society. It's not a matter of a specific child. The entire generation is corrupted and has been going on for generations. We don't even have where to take the correct examples from. And so humanity has to completely revise everything that it's doing, its attitude toward life. Owen, how would you define a person's ability to connect with other people in the best possible way? Can you depict a person who has the ability to connect with other people in an ideal way? What is that? Dr. Leitman, to the benefit of others. Very simple. But then I have to know, what does it mean to the benefit of others? What does it mean to bring each of them to a state of good? And that I can, and to what extent can I bring everyone to that? Meaning, everyone has to depict a state to himself where we're in a society in which all of us want to reach an ideal state in our mutual good connection, in our good attitude toward everyone. And this is what we're drawn to, and this is what we're brought up to do. This is what we're brought up to be. Tal, there are people with different social skills, people that are more closed, people that are more open, more social, less social. What do these differences come from? Dr. Leitman, we simply need to actually erase our entire behavior. We're in a new generation, in a new state. We have to acknowledge that our entire nature is evil, bringing us only from war to war, from divorce to divorce, from one distortion to another in our family relations, in ourselves. And therefore, we have to learn maybe not how to correct something, but what is a good, correct environment? And then, after we learn this, we'll be able to understand how opposite we are and that we have no chance of not deteriorating and much less to ascend, rise to something new. And then we'll understand, where is there a means that can change us and our world and society? What does that mean? Dr. Leitman, it's a force immersed in nature that we don't use. It's the force of our connection. When I studied these things in the university, they beautifully describe the state that either a person is disconnected from others, not being able to build relations with others, and there's also the healthy state. And when I asked how do you bring a person from the uncorrected to a corrected state, functioning state, there, no one really knows. Through talks, conversations, but the components missing, how to take a person from the unhealthy to the healthy channel. Dr. Lightman, it also all depends on the definition of what is a healthy channel and what is an incorrect channel. It's from the egoistic to the altruistic channel, Tal, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Dr. Lightman, they don't define it that way, and therefore both the means and the goal are incorrect. Oh, and what's the goal? In developing the correct relations between a person and his environment, what is the goal? Dr. Lightman, the goal is to bring society as a whole to be interconnected in a good and nice way, in a connection of love between them, where everyone feels the others like he feels himself. This is how he appreciates others. Tal, and what is the means in order to reach this? Dr. Lightman, the means, this is already building a society that will start acting out the good and corrected environment, and by acting it out, it awakens in nature a force that is immersed in nature, the force of bestowal, of connection and love, and that this force will start appearing like from the water and will start working on us. Tal, these relations are also the ones that make a person more balanced, happy, everything that we're missing, Dr. Lightman. Undoubtedly, because being happy depends on a person's relationship with the environment. Owen, when you said that society, in order to develop toward that goal, has to act out the correct form, what kind of example should a person show others act out, Dr. Lightman? Love. Love, meaning that to him they are as precious as he is to himself. Tal. And if I'm a pregnant mom and I want to give my child the right message, I want to guide him toward that. How can I do that? What should I do? Dr. Lightman, I don't know if there are such books. We'll have to write such books, but not those books written by psychologists, because we see where they grew from and what are the results from their work. Tal, they'll tell me to be around, to have a good attitude, Dr. Lightman, obviously. Tal, what would you add, Dr. Lightman? It's not about adding anything. Let's stop thinking that we can somehow correct what we have. We have to build something new. And something new is built by this special force of connection that we evoke from in nature. Owen, you said that there's a force in nature that we don't use, the force of our connection, Dr. Lightman. Of love, the force of connection, yeah. Owen, what we're talking about is how to develop in a person the ability to connect with others. This force of connection, can it develop the correct ability in a person to connect with others? This force, can it develop this ability in any person? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, or in more social people that grew up in a good family and so on. Or this force can enable any person to do it. Dr. Lightman, every person. I don't know what you mean by as is, but any person in general. Owen, doesn't matter if his mother was a psychologist or not, treated him favorably or not. Dr. Lightman, unimportant. This force, once it starts working on a person, it changes him. It makes him a different person. Owen, okay, I understand the final goal, to bring humanity to feel love toward each other. What is the starting point, Dr. Lightman? Despair of our situation. The recognition of evil. of society, of the human nature, and the entire perspective that's before us. Oh, and many times I heard you say that man's nature is evil, egoistic. The ability to correctly connect with others, is it necessary to first of all understand that man's nature is egoistic and that we can't connect with others? And if this recognition's already there and I identify the problem, what's the first step toward the solution, Dr. Layton, to build a society? Oh, what do you mean, Dr. Layton? A society meaning, first of all, to tell people that we can have a great life, safe, good, calm, pleasant for ourselves and for our children. By that, to get rid of all of our troubles and problems, to save lots of efforts, to acquire by it so much health and happiness and wealth and everything. All of this is possible by us now building a new society. Oh, Tal, ask please. Tal, you said that it's something that maybe a person can read about, or does he have to exercise? Dr. Layton, exercises. That's the main thing. And of course, it should be on television and the newspapers and the media that explain this method to a person. It has to be an entire campaign, national campaign. But eventually, it all has to happen practically in society. Owen, a person who developed the ability to connect with others, what does he feel? Dr. Layton, love of others and confidence in everything. Tranquility. Those around him love him. He's willing to give them everything, and they're willing to give him everything. He feels that he simply has no problems. He feels that he's in a great big family of loving people. What could be better? Oh, truly a dream. Dr. Layton, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time. All the best.
Where does the number 600,000 souls come from? Question. 600,000 souls. Is this a random number? Answer. No. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the most precise science. The number 600,000 stems from the structure of the spiritual system. Malkhut, the created being, connecting with Zir and Pin, the creator, attains his 6 sephirot, and is multiplied by the height of the discrepancy between them. The result is 600,000. But the fact is that there is further division to reach the required quantity, because everything depends on the resolution of our emotions, our awareness, connection, and mutual integration into each other. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, September 16, 2018. Can hypnosis change the values of society? Question. Do you consider it correct to use various manipulations of human consciousness, in particular hypnosis, to change values in society? Answer. No, this will absolutely not help, because society does not change at the same time. It can be hypnotized, as they say, but it cannot change itself. This happens only under the influence of an external force of nature, when we very clearly, purposefully strive to change social values, knowing our present and future state. The external force of nature is not within us. It is simply the power of goodness and love that holds all nature and develops it. After all, everything developed from inanimate matter, from which plant and animate nature later appeared and then humans. The quickening force constantly develops matter in 4 stages. It exists in nature, but not in us. And we must stimulate it on ourselves and try to constantly correct ourselves in order to use it in the best possible way. Egoistic matter cannot exist on its own, there must still be some part of altruism in it. We see this in nature, evolution, kivolution, good, evil, plus or minus. Therefore, the Kabbalistic methodology allows each person to call upon himself this force of nature, and under its influence, his worldview changes. From Cab TV's The Post Coronavirus Era, May 7, 2020. Leadership behind an idea. Question. We see that cardinal changes in history are associated with special personalities. Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Lenin, etc. Has something changed now? What is the role of the modern leader? Answer. I do not think that the role of the leader will be relevant at the present time. Now the role of the idea will emerge. The world needs it. And if the world accepts this idea, begins to change in accordance with it, then, of course, it will reach the next level of existence, to the level of integral interaction of everyone with everyone. Question. Can a small group of people become an example, a catalyst for change, for all of humanity? Answer. In general, it can. But for this they need to work well on themselves. From Cab TV's The Post Coronavirus Era, April 30, 2020.